Morning, everybody. One announcement, Josh Cribbs was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And I think Jerome just barely missed the Offensive Player of the Week. So maybe if he gets 300, he'll get that. Today what we're doing is we're working on third down. Raiders defensively have been very good at third down. And also good in the red area and improving the red area. And I think that's been a big part of their success of late is being able to hold one, limit the number of drives because of the success rate on third down. And when teams have gotten in the red zone, a nice job of limiting the amount of points. The other thing that they've done defensively is with the turnovers, similar to who was it that we faced? San Diego. Some well-timed turnovers. And they've gotten them in key situations. So it's another challenge. Offensively, we've made some strides, significant strides on third down, significant strides in the red zone, but they'll present some challenges there. Defensively, need to continue to focus on the things that we're doing first and make sure that our communication is solid, make sure that our signals are solid, make sure that we're in the right spots, and that's a starting point. That's a starting point for us every week. And after doing that, then being able to do the game plan specific things based on stopping the Raiders. So with that, open up to questions. All right.
What was the change of quarterbacks? Do you have to? Since they are different styles, what do you have to do differently now with T.A.?
Well, he's been working in the no huddle, but nowhere near the volume that Brady has. So getting used to that for him, and when I say getting used to it, he is able to draw on the experience to get in OTAs and training camp. And we practiced each week during the season while he was the starter. May have not run it, obviously, with the same frequency, but he has a lot of familiarity with it, just hasn't done it of late with anywhere near the number of reps that Brady had done it. So getting back into that flow for him is very important. And oftentimes when you start that process, you go through getting the formation, getting the call. That's sort of step one. Then you want to incorporate the dummy calls. So you go through, you make your calls, and then you make a bunch of other calls that don't mean anything so that they can't key on. So they hear everything that we say, can't key on which is the live, which is the dead. And the next step after that is coming up, assessing what they're in defensively, and being able to utilize some of the other tools. Like you saw Brady doing a little bit more each week, whether it be the box overloaded and throwing out the bubble screen or signaling out a fade versus press coverage, checking the protection, things like that. So it's kind of a step-by-step. I feel comfortable because he's had a lot of reps in it. He just hasn't had as many reps in it of late. And he's worked with a lot of these guys throughout the course of this whole process, so there is familiarity with him, even though more of their balls have come from Brady of late.
When you look at the Raiders, quarterbacks not knowing exactly who's going to start, does it make it tougher when a guy like Russell seems to be the opposite of the other two guys, size-wise and, you know, arm strength, stuff like that?
Yeah, it does, and I know that we've talked about, you know, what's the value in not knowing or not announcing who the quarterback is, and it's not usually looked upon as very favorably when you don't announce it. But I can tell you from a defensive perspective and trying to prepare for it, it makes it harder because you've got to watch all three guys. You've got to spend time working on all three guys' strengths and weaknesses, and it dilutes the amount of time that you can spend on each one. So as I mentioned yesterday, you look for consistency within the offense, but each guy is going to have a different effect on how those plays are run. And, you know, you like to know which one it is. And then if it's a question of two guys, No, that's 50%. Question of three, now you're 33 and a third. This adds time, effort, work.
Is that any different? They use the running backs pretty much the same way. You never know who's going to carry the ball, and they're different too.
It's pretty different just because of there's the line of scrimmage mechanics, there's the scramble pattern, how they hold the football, where their strengths are in terms of the deep ball, the short balls, who their favorite receiver is, audibles, which one will use more of those things. So because they control the whole offense, the effect can be more widespread, where with the running backs, there may be variations to how they run the play, but they don't control how the whole play operates.
Would you have two separate game plans, going into Sunday and then decide if it was game
time? No, it wouldn't be that radical. It's more a function of, okay, these are the things that we like versus this system versus the things that they've shown. And, if it's one guy, you may have specific things for him, but it won't be a wholesale, we're going to run this plan. It's just you don't have enough time, you don't have enough reps. Too hard to try to learn massive or a full plan for three different guys.
Question, and speaking of strengths and weaknesses, what have you learned Anderson's strengths to be, and how do they apply to what you're trying to do in your offensive system?
I think DA has a lot of strengths. I think he has the ability to stretch the field, and he can put some balls in some really tight coverage. Now that can be a plus or a minus, because when you have that ability, you're very comfortable putting it in tight coverage, and sometimes what looks really tight to me may look less tight to him, and it can create some great plays and it can create some negative plays. You just want to make sure that when you're taking chances, they're always calculated. They're always based on percentages. So I think that's a real plus that he brings.
If you were on the other sideline, would you kick off to Josh Cribbs?
I don't know. Who do I have covered? Which? Who would?
Your own coverage.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Every time.
Are you surprised, though, that...
If I get that punter from Pittsburgh, I'd be all set. Yeah.
Are you surprised, though, that they've continued to tempt fate by putting the ball in his hands?
Well, it's... The tough thing is not a lot of great options. You could pop it up, but usually that's going to result in field position. You can squib it. That usually results in field position. You could try to kick it at an angle. Sometimes that goes out of bounds. Ball's at the 40. Overload. Well, some teams will do that. We've seen a lot of different combinations of trying to defend it, and some teams have done a really good job with it. I'd say I've liked the way the kickoff return team as a whole has improved, too. I mean, Josh is obviously outstanding, but I think those guys have done a nice job of executing the blocks. And I think Brad Seeley does a nice job of eliminating a team's strengths and attacking their weaknesses.
As far as Josh, too, do you think we're just starting to scratch the surface as to what his potential could be?
He's done a lot of things this year. I don't know how many yards he has carrying the ball, but he's got a decent average there, right? 7 point something. He's caught 20 balls, returned kicks, returned punts, made tackles. I mean, he hasn't played defense yet, but I'm not be open to that.
Well, you got 2 games left. Would you like to see him up there?
Yeah.
Safety?
We've talked about that. Have to be a specific package. I just don't know. Would I like to? Yeah. I mean, I would, but I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get it done.
Well, Speaking of that, you do have two games left. I mean, is there a favorite play you have that you haven't been able to use, that either offensively or mostly offensively, or even on special teams, that you'd like to get out there to see how you practice it so much, you'd like to see it in a game?
Usually if they're my favorites, they get in. I think some of the other guys' favorites, that have been kind of put on the back burner. My favorite plays are the ones that work. Those are really good. You know, we ran two or three plays last week that kept hitting over and over again, so no real reason to go to something else. I mean, I like the throwback that we did out of the Wildcat with Josh. Thought that had a real shot.
You know, I haven't been paying attention. How
to what? The whole season? The press conference?
Since school? My question is, how many guys on the kick return team are new from last year?
Gosh, I don't know if I've been paying attention to that either. I haven't put together those numbers. Quite a few new guys on this team, I think. Percentage-wise, probably pretty high. Well, Vickers is on it. JC is on it. Nick is on it. Who else? Mike Cribbs is on it. That's what, four?
Speaking of Vickers, did he have as good a game or as much of an impact on Cribbs' returns as he did on Harrison's runs?
He pancaked a guy on the first touchdown and pancaked him. And in the running game, I mean, he had as good a game as a fullback as I've been around. In terms of the running game this past week, yeah, he was killing guys. He was killing them. And I'm not lobbying for him, you know, Pro Bowl-wise. I mean, that's just coincidence. But I'm telling you, he was killing guys this week. I told him whatever he ate, share it, and have some more.
You affected the offensive line, the way they performed last week. Just talk about that. I mean, it was
the same thing. What I liked about those guys, their performance was things were really well coordinated. They were doing a great job on the first level, and that was a penetrating defense. So they were stopping the penetration, staying shoulder to shoulder, getting good drive, and as the linebacker showed up, being able to come off, and whichever, because the way that works is whichever side the linebacker shows up on, that offensive lineman comes off and gets them. So they got movement, and then they did a nice job of coming off and getting the linebacker when we were pulling. I thought the fits on the pulls were really good, and sometimes they were getting two or three guys just because the linebackers couldn't get through the traffic or the safety got caught up in the wave or that pile. And then JC did a nice job of setting the runs up. And that's huge for the offensive line, is the back being able to set their blocks up and being patient enough to give them time to really establish position.
One thing on Harrison, he's bad that he didn't win that award. And how do you feel this performance? Is he going to feel pressure now to live up to a day like that?
Those don't happen very often. It'd be unfair to him to think that you have a day like that very often. I mean, it's pretty rare. What I just want him to do is keep improving. And, you know, one of the things that I don't think anybody talked about or really wrote about last week with his performance was this is another week we had some really outstanding pass blocks. And one play, upended the linebacker, the blitzing linebacker, and that's an area that he's improved on significantly over the course of the season. It's important. I thought he did a nice job there as well.
Do you know yet if Brady needs surgery?
I don't think that decision is going to be made quickly, so we'll just go through and see where it is and take time on it.
You could answer this in this way, but 286 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's not offensive player of the week. And that blew me away when
I'm not the one to ask. I would have chosen. I mean, I would have chosen him. But I'm not sure how they got to that. I think Ben got it. For his performance. He had a pretty good day too.
Would you answer this? Since this is the Pro Bowl week and all, you've cast your ballot. Of all the players you have defended or coached against on your schedule this year, who's been the most impressive, opponent-wise?
I'd have to think about that. There's been quite a few. A lot of the quarterbacks we faced have been outstanding. Although Antonio Gates, and we had 2 guys on him, we were hitting him. Didn't matter, you know. He was really tough to handle. That's the one that did, like, the word association. That's the one that jumped to mind right away.
Like you said, Vickers was the best game you've seen for a fullback. Is that comparable to the best game you've seen, the tight end? Gates' game, I mean.
Yeah, it was right up there.
Why do you very general question, but why do you prefer the 3-4 to the 4-3? What is your philosophy about that in general?
The nice thing about the 34 is it's balanced, and so you have the same amount of defensive guys on either side of the formation, and you can adjust the number the rusher. Any way that you want to. You have 4 guys that you could rush with, any of the linebackers, the Sam, Mike, Willer, Jack. He can become the 4th down lineman, any one of those 4 players. So regardless of how they set up their formation, you can change the rush whatever way you want to. You can form any front that you want to. So if you want an under front, it's pretty easy to do. If you want an over front, it's pretty easy to do. If you want to get into the 46, it's easy to do. Where when you're in a 4-3 and you've got 4 bigs, over, under, things like that, there's more moving parts. And if you want to keep the 4 bigs stationary, then you've got to constantly adjust with the secondary. And you saw Kansas City, they were running a form of 4-3 out of the 34. And when we'd motion, they'd slide their line. Left or right, you'd see a lot of movement, and that's another way that you adjust the 4-3. So you either got to move the defensive lineman, you got to stay with it and adjust with the secondary, or in the 34, you just change the rusher, make a Roy Lee, Mike Will call, and that guy goes. So you can stay with the coverage if you want to, or you can change it. Easier to zone blitz, easier to max pressure.
Coming out of halftime Sunday, what do you think the key was?
I don't know. You know, I think we've actually come out of halftime in a lot of games and been effective. I think we're one of the top teams in the league in terms of scoring on the first drive, the second half. I think we're top 5 there. We're consistent with the way that we approach it. We go in, meet as a staff. The guys in the booth bring down the problem plays. We put the problem plays up so the guys can see it, whether it's a problem blitz or something defensively, talk through how we're going to adjust it, how we're going to deal with it, and then go through the new things that we're going to run. You know, so, and it's not a long amount of time, but you're really trying to say, okay, here are the core things we had issues with. This is how we're going to fix it if it comes up again. Here's a couple new things that we're going to run the second half based on what they're doing. And offensively, it's, you know, they're pushing the coverage over here. They're pressuring over here. Okay, this is what we're going to do protection-wise. This is what we're going to do route-wise, the adjustment.
When you hear halftime adjustments, do you think either they're overrated and do they show up most on the first drive for each team, or can they show up later in the, you know, third quarter or fourth quarter?
Could be a little bit of both. Some teams will go in and they'll have a script the first half for the first 15 plays, and then based on the success of the plays that they ran in the first half, that'll set the script for the second half. And so they actually come out, there's two scripted halves, one based on the second half. Sometimes you go in, you have a first half plan, and depending on who the quarterback is, you know that they've got it figured out. So you actually have a second half plan that you haven't shown. You just, okay, we're going to the second plan. So it's like playing two games. Sometimes it's a function of, all right, we got to stop these things. If we can stop these things, we'll be in good shape.
You need the surface of it's always good to win. What are the details of what it would mean in your mind for this team to beat Oakland and have a third straight win?
The way that we've been making progress is the most important thing to me, because it's been in a lot of areas. And, I didn't think that defensively last week we were anywhere near as consistent as we had been. And that's frustrating, because that's the starting point. If we can play consistently, and really the starting point is communication, when we do that well, we play good defense. When it's coordinated, when guys are in the right spot, we play good defense regardless of who we're playing. If those things break down, we have what we had on Sunday, and that's frustrating. I want to see that every single week. Offensively, it's the same thing. The things that we did well the week prior, you want to be able to maintain that, and the areas that were weaknesses, now you want to be able to work on in the ensuing weeks. I wasn't happy about turning the ball over twice. Wasn't happy about the miscommunication on the punt. The jumping off sides on third and five or third and one, I think it was, whatever it was. I mean, those things, they're in our control. They're completely under our control. So you don't ever want to take steps back in that area. But these guys work at it. They've been working at it. There's a real sense of commitment to what we're doing, and you appreciate that.
Some of these levels of progress that you're shooting for, what evidence do you have that there can be a positive carryover into a following season?
Well, I mean, you can look at it historically, but, every situation is different, but there is precedent. I was talking to Bill Parcells, and he had started 1-11 his first year in New England, ended up winning, I think, all their games. At the end, started the next season 3-6. They were down 20-0 to Minnesota. Came back, won that, won 7 straight. That was the year they played Cleveland in the playoffs. Was that 95, 94? He and I were just talking about that, just the, his experience going 1-11 that year, and then the sort of the boost they had. But then they came out the next year, they were 3-6. Things looked pretty bleak against Minnesota. But they came back, and I'm sure all the lessons that he had up to that point kind of hit after that. They won 7 straight, and I think next year they went to the Super Bowl.
When did you have this conversation with Bill, and is he somebody that you still look to as a mentor and somebody that is supportive of you and what you're doing?
Yeah, he's I talk to him frequently is the right word, but he's great in terms of questions. If I have a question either as a head coach or just operationally, he's been great for me, and just very sound advice, very Bill tells it like it is, and you appreciate that. And he also shares experiences that he's had. It's so different than when I was a young assistant coach in New York. So it's nice. It's been a great relationship for me.
What's been in this kind of awkward time period with Holmgren looming?
No, it's the one thing that I've always been impressed with Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick is, regardless of what's happening externally, focusing on the task at hand. And that's what I've learned, that's what I've seen is important, that's what I understand, and control the things that you can control and work on those things. And so we're constantly trying to teach that to the players, so you can't preach it without living it.
Since he tells it like it is, what is he telling you about what your team is doing right now?
Well, he's working on his team, so he hasn't really watched all of our games, but he likes the way we're two-gapping. You know, he goes way back with Cox, says he likes the technique that we're using, and it's a range of stuff. He's just a really nice resource for me.
But other than the focusing thing,
what is the best piece of advice he's given you?
Wow. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. We'll have to revisit that one because there's been a lot of advice that's been really good, and some of it hasn't been like these broad strokes. It's been more operating and day-to-day type stuff.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.